This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it. I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation.
We're on vacation today. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. How you doing on this Saturday morning? That's a good way to start the show, Jed Marshall. Good pull on that one. I like that. If you like what you do for a living, every day is a vacation, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I just like the positive vibes to start the show, as always.
I do. I like that. That's a good way to do it. This is the final weekend in St. Joe. We're going to be up here today and tomorrow. Broadcasting from 9 a.m. to noon. Practice is underway. They got started about 8:15. By the way, our Chiefs coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. We're out in St. Joe. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Got a good show lined up for you tonight. By the way, before I line up the whole show, Jed Marshall, I'll give you a little bit of maybe trivia mixed with a special person who's out here today at Chiefs training camp.
Always intrigued.
So we always, as Chiefs fans, we know 65 Toss Power Trap, right?
Yes.
And that's the name of the Chiefs video production company, 65 TPT.
Mm-hmm.
So who scored the touchdown on that play?
Oh, gosh. I know that Hank Stram was there talking about matriculating the ball down the field.
Right.
No idea.
Okay. It's Mike Garrett.
Mike Garrett. How do you like that?
Mike Garrett, who is in the Ring of Honor and happens to be, he's a friend of mine. Our kids go to school together, went to grade school together for the last few years. Now they're going to high school together. And him and a group of dads came up here for the day. So hello to John Fox and Dr. Franey. So Mike Garrett, Chief Super Bowl champion, is up here in camp today. How about that?
That's pretty cool. You did that just to make me look bad, apparently?
No, I just, some of the younger people don't know. It goes back to Josh Briscoe not knowing, 80s and 90s references because he wasn't born yet. So.
Yeah, he makes me feel old, which is nice.
Yes. So Mike Garrett's up here today, which is really, really cool. I think I saw Bill Moss up here too. That's a fun day. I like seeing guys that the former players that you know and you've gotten to know over the years. So that was a good thing this morning. Rolled up in the pickup truck, rolled down the window. Everybody said hello. So good stuff. Set the table for you. Coming up at 9:30, Dave Borchert, better known as Davey B, is going to join us, talk Sporting KC. They have a huge game tonight in Los Angeles against the expansion LAFC, which is trying to replicate what the Las Vegas Knights did in the NHL, and that is first year in the league, go all the way to the championship, and have a party in Vegas, although it'll be L.A., not Vegas. Although if they win, maybe they'll go to Vegas. So big game tonight in the Western Conference. This is I can't stress to you enough how big this game is, and we're going to have it for you live tonight at 9:30 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And that's 9:30 p.m., by the way, because they're on the West Coast. And then Davey B. will have the post-game show, the final whistle, immediately after. So 9:30 for Dave Borchert. At 10 o'clock, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com will join us. A couple of things to talk about. One, a player from University of Kansas had to be taken off the field and put into an ambulance and rushed to the hospital this week. By all accounts, he's doing okay, but we really don't know the nature of what happened, which is, so it's hard to talk about. When colleges don't like to tell you about injuries and things that happen in practice, especially when they're negative, they don't tell you much, and so it's hard to know what's going on, but we'll talk about that. And also, there was a player at the University of Maryland this week who looked to be in trouble during practice. He was a lineman. And the trainers were walking him around the field, and his teammates said he didn't look good. His head was falling backwards, and they took him to the training room, and eventually they called the ambulance and had to be rushed to the hospital. And unfortunately, this young man passed away. And the early reports are that it's probably heat exhaustion. When he got to the hospital, his body temperature was 106 degrees. 106 degrees. They've already hired an investigator, an outside investigator, to look into exactly what happened and whether or not the proper protocols were in place to take care of this young man, because he was in dire straits. He was in serious trouble. His teammates knew he was in trouble, and the trainers were walking him around the field, apparently to try to get him to his group practice area. So something is amiss. And I'm not looking to lay blame on anybody until a final investigation report comes out on how this was handled. But it was not handled properly. If the course of events unfold that a young man dies playing football, then something was wrong. Something was missed. And maybe it was, I'm sure it wasn't intentional. But the University of Maryland is under the microscope now, and several coaches have been put on administrative leave until they run the investigation. So Dennis Dodd at 10 o'clock to talk about that, and we'll also talk about actual on-field college football. At 10:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, is going to join us. They have a new podcast over there called Fourth and One, which is fantastic if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a football fan in general. So Nick Jacobs is out here at training camp, and he's going to join us at 10:30. And at 11 o'clock, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com will join us. Covers K-State football. We'll talk about Bill Snyder's contract extension. Will he ever retire? Early returns? No, he's not going to retire. He's just going to keep coaching football until he can't coach anymore. And that's fine. That's what he loves. That's his passion in life. That's great. The money really doesn't mean that much to him. He donates a ton back to the university, to the academic programs and things like that. So good for Bill Snyder. So Riley Gates at 11 o'clock. And then hopefully in the second half of that 11 o'clock hour, we'll have some Jed lines from Jed Marshall. We'll pick out odd stories from around the world, and it could be sports-related, could be entertainment, could be anything. And then we'll hear from Chiefs coaches and players if we get that in time. It just depends on when their practice ends. So get the show rolling here. We'll update you on the latest here. Sharkhandrick West, who has missed the last couple of weeks due to being in the concussion protocol, he is back out on the field today. So that is good news that he is back out at practice. Out today, Leon McQuay, who's fighting for one of those backup safety spots. Daniel Sorensen, obviously, with the knee injury, who's going to be out into the regular season, probably another 7 to 8 weeks at least. Keith Reeser has been injured almost since day one. He is out, and Jamie Murray is also out. The other Murray, Eric Murray, is running with the number ones at safety right next to Eric Berry. So right now, Eric Murray, you would say, would be in the lead spot. And Jed watching that game Thursday night, evaluating the different defensive backs. It was not a good night for the DBs, but Eric Murray jumps into the lead.
Yeah, and I'm seeing one more report here from good friend of the station, Brooke Pryor, is saying that tackle Andrew Wiley is in the tent being looked at by athletic trainers. So just one more injury to keep an eye on out there at training camp. But yeah, I'm with you. It was a rough night for the defensive secondary on Thursday. It seems like it was just yesterday, but no, it was in fact Thursday. But yeah, Eric Murray has a lot to prove with Sorensen going down, and they obviously brought in a couple of guys in the draft. And you know, Eric Berry's going to be the starter. Who, whether he's able to stay healthy, has been a concern, as we've seen him overcoming, you know, his battle with cancer, which is amazing. But he has had a history of getting nicked up, so safety is definitely an area where I'd be watching. So hopefully, Eric Murray can turn some heads and get some playing time.
All right, and just to satisfy your Patrick Mahomes insatiability, he just ran through the entire defense. But this is, remember, you can't hit the quarterback. If you hit the quarterback, you get in trouble. So Patrick Mahomes just ran through the whole defense, and to the applause of the crowd, even though nope, you can't touch him. Which is kind of funny. As far as the DB goes, I went back and looked at some of the, I call it tape, call it DVR, call it whatever you want. I went back and looked at some of the plays on defense because I was particularly concerned about the corners and the safeties getting absolutely shredded by the Houston Texans. And they were playing 10 to 12 yards off the ball. And here's what I'll say about that. Yes, it was concerning to see that in the game. But we know Bob Sutton is kind of a crush him at the line kind of guy, right? He's a high-pressure kind of guy. You hit him, you chuck him, you get to that 5 yards mark where you can't do it anymore, and then you follow him. So they were not doing that in the game. And perhaps that was by the orders of Bob Sutton or Andy Reid, not to, you know, show everything you're going to do in the regular season. Let's play off the ball. So concerned, yes, but understandable also, yes. So I was not happy with the performance, but it's the way it goes. It's a preseason game. As Matt Verderam, our good friend from FanSided, joined us, he joined us last week, he tweeted out, "Remember, nothing about this game matters." And that's a good perspective to have. What it matters for is the second, third, and fourth string guys. Can they perform in one-on-one situations? And they still have some questions to answer. They've got to do that. And they've got three more games before cutdown day comes. Got 90 guys, get down to 53. And there'll be guys shuffling in and out of camp over the next 3 weeks, whether it's through injury, whether it's through performance, whether it's the Chiefs see somebody else who got released or somebody who's a free agent and want to bring him in, then they got to cut somebody else. So we'll see what Brett Veach cooks up over the next week, see if they make some additions or subtractions going into the second preseason game, which will be down in Atlanta on Friday at 6 o'clock. Be interesting to see that field down in Atlanta for an NFL game. I mean, I've seen it for – obviously, we saw it last year, but to see the Chiefs play there, I've seen Sporting KC play Atlanta United down there, so that'll be an interesting situation next week, and we'll see how long the starters play. Jed, I'll just ask you, there was some feedback on Twitter. Since the offense sputtered, folks wanted to see Mahomes take at least one more series. But I'm with Matt Verderame on this. This doesn't matter. None of this mattered. The important thing was getting out there, taking some hits, seeing where you have some problem areas, offensive line in particular. So the rest of that didn't matter. I didn't need to see Patrick Mahomes take another series, but there are some things definitely that need improving on.
I don't think you necessarily needed to see him back out there, but there is at least a discussion to be had about him needing more reps. I mean, you saw him miss Kelce on that overthrow, and I know that's just one pass, but still, for a guy who hasn't played a lot of football, if you go back to his high school days and even his college days, he did leave early from Texas Tech. For him to be able to get reps going against NFL defensive players, whether they make the team or not, I still think wouldn't have been the worst idea. I know that it's preseason, so you're always a little hesitant about injuries, and when you've invested as much as the Chiefs have in a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you certainly don't want to expose him to undue hits. And as you mentioned, one of the things I was concerned about coming into training camp was the offensive line. So I see the point of taking him out. You know, you just want to kind of get him into the flow of the game and ease him in. But I wouldn't have minded seeing him out there for another series.
Yeah, one more might have been okay. But the offensive line concerns, when you're quarterback is being flushed, having to scramble, and then he got hit pretty good a couple of times. Totally legal hits, by the way. But that's definitely an area of concern. And it doesn't – you're okay, on one hand, preseason doesn't matter. But if you're unable to protect in that preseason, you should be able to protect your quarterback. You should be able to.
You'd hope so. Mahomes, one of the things that I at least appreciated was the fact that there's this myth, I guess, out there that Patrick Mahomes is this interception-prone quarterback, even though that's unproven at the NFL level, or even in college if you go back. But he still didn't make bad decisions, even under duress. The offensive line did him no favors, but on one, he ended up taking a sack. There was maybe a chance he could have gotten it downfield to Kelce. But again, not putting the ball in harm's way is one of the things that people, I don't know, frowned upon in Alex Smith, but it is
correct.
It is a good quality to have. I mean, if you're going to force the ball downfield and turn it over, that's where the concern comes. So I guess for critics of Mahomes who think that he might be this turnover prone guy, at least to me, that was a very positive sign. And as you mentioned, seeing Mahomes take a couple of hits, obviously you don't ever want to see your quarterback get hit, but he's a big guy. He's a young kid. So I think he'll be all right. But again, at least he showed he can take hits from NFL, you know, linemen.
Yeah. And he's out with the number one offense right now. And I'll update you if anything spectacular or unspectacular happens, as we're hanging on every word and just through a nice little sideline route. Nice completion for a pickup of about 20 yards. Not exactly doing play-by-play here, but that was a nice completion to Sammy Watkins.
Anytime you hear the faint applause in the background from the crowd, you just assume that Patrick Mahomes did something. Oh, he fielded a snap and was able to throw it for a 3-yard out pattern. Woo!
Yeah. By the way, I have to give a shout-out to one of our good followers. I'll just give his – I won't give his Twitter handle, but he goes by the name Papa, and he tweets almost every weekend because he works out on a farm, and he always appreciates the fact that while he's working out on the tractor, out in the fields, or out in the barn, that that we're providing some Chiefs coverage and sports coverage. So, Papa, we appreciate that. And believe me, it's not a burner account. But he sends a compliment almost every weekend because, you know what, I was born in Iowa. I lived there until I was six, moved to Missouri, and I've got friends who are farmers. And that's a hard job, man. It is a really hard job. So if we can bring a little bit of joy talking Chiefs football while you're out there listening, then that's the best we can do. So good stuff. Yeah, the offensive line needs work, definitely. The backup quarterback race, or rather maybe the third-string quarterback race, took on a little life of its own Thursday night.
It's a full-on controversy, Brad. It is.
It's a battle. This is the thing that's going to rage for the next 3 weeks. Who's going to be the third-string quarterback? But I like what I saw from Chase Linton. He was undrafted out of Marshall. He's raw. Don't get me wrong. He's not – if he comes into an NFL game right now – it'll be disaster. But you have, you know, Chad Henne's going to be the backup, and then you have Matt McGloin, who's been in the league 5 years, and you got a rookie. And I liked what I saw from Chase Linton. I mean, still a lot of work to do. Very raw. It's a work in progress. But I liked what I saw. And I like when teams like the Chiefs bring in these guys. You know, you're not sure about them. You've seen all the tape, of course. And he's got the big arm, which we heard about, you know, Tyler Bray for the last 5 years. Now he's with the Bears. It didn't work out. But I like looking at these guys. Just, do you have a little something? Is there a glimmer of hope? Is there a gleam, as Marty Schottenheimer used to say? Is there just something there? And maybe it doesn't turn out for anything, but if you can develop an undrafted quarterback into a guy that can eventually be a backup or make a couple of starts, that's great.
I'm with you. I thought Chase Linton, Linton looked pretty good. I had my Seren moment there without being able to remember the guy's name. But
That's Chase Linton.
Oh, okay. Hey, nailed it then.
I
thought he looked pretty solid. You have to keep in mind that he's going with third and fourth stringers out there. So to have a 19 or 20 play drive there at the end,
yeah,
to even have an opportunity to go for two. And I know that Andy Reid said that he was upset that the kid didn't pull the ball in at the end of the game. I mean, maybe it's nice to win a preseason game. If you're going to suit up, why not try and win them all? But, yeah, I thought Linton looked pretty decent. And you mentioned if you put him in an NFL game right now, it'd be a disaster. If you get to your third-string quarterback in any game, more often than not, it's going to be a disaster. Because
you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, you're just not anticipating playing that guy. So in one quarter, he showed me more promise, I guess, than I ever got out of Tyler Bray for 5 years.
Well, if your third-string quarterback is in the game, that third-string quarterback is listed on the game roster as an emergency quarterback. And if that quarterback comes in, the first two cannot come back into the game. So that means your first two quarterbacks are beat up pretty bad. Pretty bad. The Chiefs are running through second team right now, with Chad Henne at quarterback, and they're moving slowly down the field, but they're making progress. So good stuff up here in St. Joe. Do want to update you on the PGA Championship. This afternoon from 1 to 7 p.m., you can listen to PGA Championship coverage live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And guess who's at the top of the leaderboard?
Do you actually want me to guess?
If you want to, sure.
I'm going to guess Gary Woodland from the University of Kansas.
It is Gary Woodland. And I saw a great Twitter post yesterday or Thursday. I think it was yesterday when he was moving towards the top of the leaderboard. Somebody from, I think it was Washburn, somebody who works at Washburn, has an old picture from Gary Woodland dribbling down the court in a Washburn Ichabod's basketball uniform. And then he decided basketball wasn't his thing, transferred to Kansas to play golf. And now he makes millions of dollars a year playing professional golf. And I was telling my kids about it the other day because my youngest is a huge KU fan. And I told him the story. I said, yeah, he played basketball at Washburn, didn't think he was good enough, or he chose to play golf instead, and now he's on the PGA Tour. And he said, how good of an athlete do you have to be to just decide, well, I may not be good enough at basketball, maybe pro golf will be my lot in life. I mean, you have to be a seriously gifted athlete to be that good. Because Washburn plays in a good college basketball conference. And if you're playing at that level, you're a pretty good player. And then you transfer to Kansas, which has an outstanding men's golf program. And now you're on the PGA Tour, and you're leading the PGA Championship.
It's an awesome story. And the fact that he's a local kid, grew up in Topeka, obviously went to KU, stuff like that always makes you feel good, regardless of who you cheer for. It's a cool story having a local kid doing big things. I hope he's able to hold off, you know, some of the guys who are in contention. I know the Tiger's lurking. I think he's at -2. But it'll be really interesting to see when play gets started. We'll have Howard Richman on tomorrow at 9:25. And when I was texting back and forth with him, I guess he was out at the course in St. Louis maybe 2 months ago, he said, and wrote an article on it and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to hear his insight tomorrow morning.
Well, Gary Woodland has a one-shot lead. He has not started his round. Yesterday, if you weren't watching, they had lightning move into the St. Louis area. A little bit of rain, but mostly it was lightning. So they had to stop play. So the players who were not able to finish their rounds yesterday, they were out on the course at 7 o'clock this morning. And they're going to play 30-plus holes today. I mean, it's outrageous. So Gary Woodland with a one-shot lead, Kevin Kisner one shot back, Brooks Koepka, who's won back-to-back U.S. Opens, is two shots back at 8-under, tied with Ricky Fowler, who's making a move today as he plays the remainder of his second round before his third round. Dustin Johnson, 7-under, three shots back, so he's lurking. I mean, this is star-studded at the top. Francisco Molinari, who just won the Open Championship, or some people call it the British Open.
No one calls it the British Open.
He's five shots back, and I'm just rolling through. Justin Thomas is five shots back. Zach Johnson, four shots back. And let me get Jason Day. Is it -4? So he's six back. And I'm scrolling through because Tiger Woods is out on the course right now. Tiger Woods is 3-under, seven shots back, but he's still finishing his second round today. And then he'll have his third round to play. And again, PGA Championship live coverage today from 1 to 7 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, Jed, I thought about this. I took one class at KU. I took a broadcasting class, so I don't consider myself a Jayhawk. Pretty new. I went to UMKC. But I thought about this last night, reading all the positive tweets about Gary Woodland. What would it be like for Gary Woodland to win the PGA Championship and then at a Kansas basketball home game in Allen Fieldhouse to have him come out at halftime and raise the PGA Championship trophy for 16,000 people in Lawrence, Kansas? How awesome would that be?
That would be pretty sweet. I'd like to be at one of those, at the game that he does that.
And if you've seen the PGA Championship trophy...
No, it's huge. It's no Stanley Cup, but it's big.
It's enormous. It's enormous. So I think that would be cool. Again, if he were able to win the PGA Championship and they bring him to Lawrence, Kansas for a basketball game and bring him out at halftime and raise the PGA Championship, I just think that'd be so cool. So cool. Again, we got a full show for you today. Coming up after the timeout here, we'll have Dave Borchert on, talking a little Sporting KC, big road game at LAFC tonight. At 10 o'clock, Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, will come on. We'll talk about some of the things that are happening in college football this week. At 10:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, who is out here covering the Chiefs, is going to join us and talk about his new podcast, 4th and 1. All the guys at 41 are part of that. Mick Schaefer, Todd Palmer, D. Jackson, all the good Brian Marshall, everybody over there. And then at 11 o'clock, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. We'll talk about Bill Snyder's contract extension. Will he ever retire? I don't think so. He's doing what he loves. Again, we're out at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. You can stop by the 810 tent, and we've got the Football Insider to give away, all the thoughts of all the personalities at 810. We've got a couple of Red Sea towels as well. Charlie Carlin is running that. We've given away a lot of these insiders already, but stop by. We've got plenty. We'd love to see you. Love to say hello. Please do that. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler, and another big completion for the Chiefs offense and Patrick Mahomes, and that's the clapping you just heard. There's no golf clap out here at Chiefs training camp. So good stuff. My name is Brad Porter. Again, we're out in St. Joe. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Jed Marshall, who is this?
That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, God, you think I would know that, right? Jed Marshall doing a great job of spinning the tunes this morning. We're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. I have to pause, Jed, sometimes. My name is Brad Porter, by the way. I have to pause because I have an occasion where I still want to say River Falls, even though that was 9 years ago. I have to check myself on that. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's in the Rally House studios. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. We've got the 810 Football Insider Magazine out here to give away. So if you want to, please stop by the tent, say hello, and we'll get you one of those very cool magazines with Patrick Mahomes II on the cover. If you can snag an autograph from Patrick Mahomes II. By the way, right in front of us right now, Patrick Mahomes II and the first team offense is in red zone. They've run three or four plays and have not been able to score yet. And the play is developing right now. Patrick Mahomes rolling out to his right, fires to the end zone, and kind of skips past his receiver, skips off the hands of the receiver. So have not been able to score. The first team defense is getting the better of it right now in this red zone drill. One of the plays, Patrick Mahomes had to just, he got hit, well, touched by two or three defensive players and just kind of chucked it, threw another one out of the back of the end zone, now just had an incompletion. So the fans are waiting. The fans want to explode. They got this boundless energy wanting to cheer for something big, but it hasn't happened quite yet. That's the way it goes. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, will join us to talk college football. At 10:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, who's up here at Chiefs Training Camp. They got the new podcast over there called 4th and 1. Channel 41 podcast is 4th and 1. Get it? Follow along. Took me a second to get it. At 11 o'clock, Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, will join us. Again, an update, running back Sharkhandrick West is back out at practice today after being in the concussion protocol the last couple of weeks, so that is good to see. Not practicing today, Leon McQuay, Daniel Sorensen, who's going to miss 7 to 8 weeks, Keith Reeser, and Jamie Murray. So that's kind of your update from training camp. Right now we'll talk about the other kind of football called soccer with Dave Borchardt, who also works with the Sports Commission. Dave, how are you on this Saturday morning?
Brad, I'm doing great. How about you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I know you're a huge Chiefs fan. What did you think of that game Thursday night?
It's definitely not time to freak out, but I'd say, like most other Chiefs fans, I was a little bit disappointed just that there weren't huge fireworks, you know, on either offense.
Right. Everybody wants the fireworks, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything will be fine. Obviously, it's just the first game, but, you know, I was sitting there waiting to see Mahomes do what he did the first play of training camp, which was, like, go out and throw an 80-yard touchdown. And that didn't happen, but that's fine. I think, you know, kind of settling in now that he's the guy, and I think we'll see more of that as the preseason develops. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I'm not the only concerns I had was the offensive line, because I didn't think Mahomes had very much time. He was under pressure a lot. And the defensive backs, look, maybe it was in the game plan that they played 10 to 15 yards off the ball, because we know Bob Sutton likes press coverage. So maybe they just didn't want to show that press this early in the preseason.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, I don't know. It's there's some starters out on the defense, too. So, I mean, it's definitely too early. I know they go in, especially some of these games very early in the preseason. It's like zero game plan whatsoever. So it's almost just go out there and react to what you see. So I definitely can't judge too much from it. But I know I'm a little jealous just looking around and seeing, like, the other rookie quarterbacks in Cleveland, for example, you know, putting up big numbers. Now, granted, it's against backup players on the other team. But I'm not worried about Mahomes, and I know you were talking about the excitement in the air at training camp. I think it's the most excited the Chiefs fans have been about a single player since Joe Montana. You know, in my opinion, it's just crazy the buzz around Mahomes, and hopefully he can live up to it here in the near future.
Yeah, we had somebody stop by the tent a little while ago and said, you know, I don't think Chiefs fans have been this excited about a quarterback since Montana for obvious reasons, but we'll see how it unfolds. We're talking with Dave Borchardt, host of The Final Whistle, which follows every Sporting KC game here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sporting and LAFC, 9:30 p.m. Central Time kickoff, because they're out on the West Coast, and Davey B is going to be up late past the midnight hour with the post-game Final Whistle show. So, Davey B, I know it's still August, but the way Sporting has played over the last 6 weeks, aside from the win in Houston last weekend, getting the 3 points. It was still an ugly game. But this game is huge. Sporting and LAFC are going to be battling to try to catch FC Dallas for the top spot in the Western Conference. So, you know, you can say it's one game at a time and it's early, but I'm saying this game is huge. I'm saying this game is enormous.
Yeah, no doubt. And I really look at it. I know you mentioned the win at Houston last week. I look at this as just an enormous three-game stretch, including the game last week at Houston, because it's three Western Conference teams, and it's three teams Sporting's battling with for playoff position. I believe Houston is either in the last playoff spot or one spot behind that. So they would have gotten really close to Sporting had they been able to defeat Sporting KC last weekend. Instead, Sporting ends that skid they were on. They get a huge 3 points, and they go from fifth place back up to third place. And now they have LAFC, who they're tied with, like you said. And then next week they play Portland, who is one spot ahead of them. So really an important three-game stretch. They got up to a great start last weekend, getting that win at Houston. And now it's I think it's about the most exciting Sporting KC fans have been for a game in a long time, because not only are you coming off a win, not only is it a huge game against a Western Conference opponent, it's a team you've never played before. It's a brand-new stadium. It's against a couple former Sporting players and Benny Failhaber and Latif Blessing. And then on top of that, and I'm sure we'll get into this, but Christian Namath comes back, a guy that
right.
only had one season here in Kansas
right.
City, but I think it was 15 goals and 6 assists in all competitions. He was an absolute star for this team back in 2015 and had some huge goals, including in an Open Cup final, in a playoff match that really should have won the game at Portland. So I think, like with the Chiefs right now and Patrick Mahomes, I think the enthusiasm is back for Sporting KC with the win last week, with the addition of Namath, as well as the Spanish defender who will be here in the short term. I can't wait for this weekend. I'm fired up. And talking to some of the players as well this week, I know they're excited to get to go against some of their former teammates.
Just to update you, Davey B, if you heard the applause in the background, fourth-string quarterback Chase Litton has thrown back-to-back touchdown passes. I think they took one away from him. He hit DeMarcus Robinson. They said he was one step out of the end zone, but just made a big pass to, I believe it was Tim Dwight, or well, it might have been Alex Ellis. They're standing right next to each other, and the numbers are close. Actually, I can see now it's Tim Wright. So touchdown pass for Chase Linton, and he was just completed another one in the red zone. So that one to Byron Pringle, the K-State grad, the undrafted free agent. So good stuff from Chase Linton here in the red zone drill. Two touchdowns.
He looked pretty good in that preseason opener, too.
He did.
He opened some eyes, and, you know, I don't know. It's just as a neutral fan here, I mean, do you really want the Chiefs to keep a second and third string quarterback that you kind of know what those guys' upside is? You know, I think we look at the guys ahead of him right now. I think neither one of them are ever going to develop into a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. So even if Litton is a huge long shot to do that, I'd almost rather lean towards the kid just in case he has that higher upside.
Absolutely, and I apologize to the Sporting KC fans. We jump in here, but it's happening right in front of us. They're doing this red zone drill, so trying to update it as much as I can. So Chase Linton with a couple of red zone touchdown tosses. He begged for the first one. They wouldn't give it to him, so he kind of threw his arms off. Like, come on, guys, what do I got to do? So you mentioned Christian Namath signing back with Sporting KC this week. Dave, it really struck me. It was, and you mentioned it too, it was 2015. When he was here last time for that one season, which was a fantastic season. It doesn't seem like that long ago, which leads me to believe that he's familiar enough with Peter Vermey's system, he's familiar enough with his teammates, and by all accounts, he's available for tonight. And if I'm a Sporting KC fan, I am totally jazzed about this.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at this team, there's been kind of two issues we've talked about most of the year. One is, the defense has really been on a roller coaster ride, right? Like, they started off really bad the first month, and they had about a 2-month stretch where they were the best defense in the league. Then Ike Opara and Matt Beasler have been battling injuries lately, and they went through another stretch of 5 to 6 weeks where they were really struggling and giving up a ton of goals. But it looked like they got back on track last week with Beasler and Ike back in the lineup. They were able to get the clean sheet at Houston. And so the defense, I still do have confidence long term they're going to be okay. I mean, this should be a really solid defense with Zusi, Beasler, Opara, Tim Melia, and then whoever, Sesanovic, maybe Jalen Lindsey, maybe Jimmy Madrand eventually, kind of filling in at left back with a real solid guy in Ilya right in front of those guys. So the defense, even though they've had some troubles this year, isn't a huge concern to me. But the real glaring hole on this team was at center forward, right? They signed Kyrie Shelton in the offseason, and he wasn't really lighting up the stat sheet, but you could tell he played an important role in terms of holding up the ball, making runs, and really creating space and setting up the guys who've been scoring, which is Daniel Shalloway and Johnny Russell. But with Shelton out and likely not to be back until the fall, maybe in time for the playoffs, hopefully, you know, they didn't really have anyone that was a natural fit there. Shalloway could slide in there, but it seems like he's a little better on the wing. Diego Ribbio could slide in there. But the couple games he started this year, he's been really quiet. But when he's come off the bench, he's been an automatic goal almost. So he's been a super sub for this team. And it even got so desperate that Johan Kraze got a start in a completely unnatural position there at center forward last week at Houston. So I think that really was going into this summer transfer window, the biggest area for improvement on this team is, could you add a center forward that's a goal scorer? And now, granted, like you said, it was 3 years ago. Christian Namath has not done a ton since he came back to MLS for the New England Revolution. But if he can be anywhere near what he was in 2015, it's going to be a huge upgrade for this team. And you think about that front line of Shalloway, who's scoring goals this year. Johnny Russell is, I think he's going to be back tonight as well. He's off the injury report. He's been scoring goals this year. If Namath can score anywhere near like he was in 2015, that's a really good three-headed monster up front. And then we almost forget that Felipe Gutierrez was the MLS Player of the Month in March, and he's back now. I don't think he's totally in form yet.
No.
Still working on getting his fitness back. But if you think about that combo of Gutierrez, Namath, Russell, and Shalloway, I know that has a lot of Sporting KC fans excited, including myself.
Absolutely. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe on the campus of Missouri Western. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with Dave Borchert, host of The Final Whistle, which you can hear right here after every single Sporting KC game. It'll be a late night tonight, kickoff at 9:30, as Sporting is out on the West Coast to play LAFC for the first time. Again, you can hear the game and the postgame show here live. Davey B, with Christian, one more final thing on Christian Namath. I know his stats and his playing time with New England were not all that impressive, but the way I look at it is New England has a first-year head coach in Brad Friedel. After playing with the U.S. men's national team for many, many years and playing in England professionally, he went to the TV booth. So I'm not sure how much coaching expertise he's providing to his regular players. And perhaps Christian Namath just didn't fit with that system. It wasn't a good fit for him. But Peter Vermes, I remember after Namath left and went to Qatar, probably got a boatload of cash to do that, and then he wanted to come back to Sporting. And I think there was a little tension there, and I think Peter maybe felt, you know, you left us, and we're going to let you just have the career you want. But I think both sides probably swallowed their pride a little bit. Sporting said, we really need a player like this, and Christian really wanted to come to a place he was familiar with. And I just think it's a solid fit all the way around. And whether he plays on the wing where he did last time or whether he's a center forward, which I think is what Peter wants to do now, I think it's all good. I think it's great for all parties involved.
Yeah, and they both made a point in the press conference that now is the right time. They said that they thought the timing was right when the two sides split after the 2015 season, and they felt like the timing was right. To your point, it's a great time for Namath. He's sort of fallen out of favor in New England. And for whatever it's worth, you know, what I've heard from people, and I don't follow the New England Revolution all that closely, to be honest, but from what I've heard, it sounds like Namath was in line to start at center forward for them this season, suffered an injury during the preseason. And then Teal Bunbury has come in and done a really nice job, another former Sporting KC forward. So I think maybe it could be a case of a little bit of bad luck this year that there's been a player in the same spot in better form. We know New England's always had a lot of good attacking options on that team. So I think that's the real question. I think we'll find out. Has Christian Namath lost a step? Is that the reason why he hasn't been playing a ton in New England, why he didn't put up a lot of goals last year? Or is he close to what he was in 2015? I think if he's what he was in 2015 or close to that, I think it's an unbelievable acquisition for the team because they didn't give up a lot. You know, they didn't give up a starting player. New England's taken a huge chunk of his salary as well that they're going to pay. So it's a pretty low risk for Sporting KC, just a first-round draft pick in 2020. And, you know, those guys are, not to knock anyone, but I feel like draft picks in MLS are sort of a crapshoot. You never really know what you're going to get. And I think you have a better idea what you're going to get with Christian Namath. Like I said, if he has not lost a step, if he's near what he was in 2015, I'd way rather have him than a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, the MLS Super Drafts, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on that, but I think that was a product of, hey, let's do everything that every other American sport does, especially the NFL, and let's have this big Super Draft and put it on TV. Sometimes those picks work. Sometimes they don't. I think Sporting KC has shown over the years they have a a better hand at just signing players, whether from other teams or internationally, and bringing them in. And that, and I would just as soon MLS get away from the draft, because to me it's just kind of funny.
Well, you know, there's nobody else in the world does now. It. Is now they have this robust academy system that's popping up
exactly.
all over the league, and I think Sporting's one of the best teams at managing the academy, and we've seen the guys they're already bringing up, including Busio, who was great last week, and Daniel Shalley, yep. among others. So a lot of these really good players aren't even going to college now, right? So it makes the draft even a little bit less relevant.
Talking with Dave Borchert, who's got the post-game show tonight, the final whistle after Sporting KC and LAFC. Coming up on a break, Davey B, so I'll just leave you with this final thing. Prediction for tonight, either the score or the result. Win,
you know,
tie, loss.
This may sound crazy, but I think Sporting is going to win tonight. And LAFC has not lost a home match in their new stadium. So, like I said, it may sound crazy to say it, but I have a really good feeling about Sporting's confidence coming off the game last week, them getting back to full strength with Johnny Russell being available. I think they got a nice pick-me-up as well, not just with the win, but with Christian Namath re-signing. And I do think if he doesn't start tonight at center forward, I'm pretty sure we're going to see him off the bench. And then Sporting's had a good history going into these new stadiums where teams haven't lost. They were the first team to hand Seattle
Atlanta.
A loss. They were the first team in the regular season to go down to Atlanta and hand them a loss.
Right.
And I know the team was talking about it all week in practice. The coaching staff and the players said, hey, let's not just go out there and play well. Let's go out and be the first team to win in the stadium. So LA is a very good team. They're one of the top offensive teams in the league. They haven't been great defensively. So I think it's going to be kind of a wild game. And, you know, I really like Sporting's chances. I think this could be a, you know, 2-1, 3-2 sort of game.
All right, that's Davey B. And Davey B, you'll be doing the show. Are you doing the show from no other pub down in P&L tonight?
No, I'm going to be at the 810 Studios. So I'll be out there tonight in Overland Park.
I was going to say, P&L after midnight might not be a good thing for you. So we'll be listening tonight, Sporting KC at LAFC, kickoff at 9:30 Central. And Davey B. has the final whistle postgame show, and he'll be working well past midnight. Davey, thank you very much for your time. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, bud. Take care.
All right, that is Dave Borchert. Also does a lot of great work with the Sports Commission. And hang on, Charlie Carlin is okay. Charlie Carlin is pointing out we're on the far side of the field, away from the medical tent, but it looks like D. Ford has made his way over to the medical tent for attention. Jed, is that what you were updating on?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Matt Derrick tweeted out that D. Ford is in the medical tent. Pads are off, so okay. not great for the pass rush. Kind of the story of D. Ford's career.
Well, Breland Speaks, I thought, showed a lot Thursday night. Again, just preseason, no overreaction, but I thought Breland Speaks looked pretty darn good at that linebacker spot. So he is, D. Ford is over in the medical tent. Again, we're on the far side, so we're trying to peer here, but that's the latest update here. So we'll take a timeout as Patrick Mahomes is again charging down the field. They're doing 7-on-7, so not full squad, and it is one-on-ones, but it's 7-on-7 right now with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. We'll take a quick timeout. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe on the campus of Missouri Western. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Jed Marshall is running the show back at the Rally House Studios. We'll update you on the PGA Championship coming up in the next segment, and then we'll have live coverage all day long from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810, WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Nails today on the music so far. Absolutely nailing it. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe on the campus of Missouri Western. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Jed, I did have to, we had a conversation with my boys last week. There was a Nirvana song on, And I was telling them about Nirvana because they're, you know, 14 and 12, so they don't know a lot about Nirvana. I said, do you know the guy from Foo Fighters who's the lead singer? And they said, yeah, Dave Grohl. And I said, yeah, he was the drummer for Nirvana. And the bass player in Foo Fighters was the bass player in Nirvana. And they're like, what? They were in two bands that big? It's like, yeah, a little history lesson for you.
Kids these days.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know.
They
like
don't know.
I like Foo Fighters. They, you know, if you think their music is a little watered down from the Nirvana days, that's fine. But I think they do a really good show. And I knew some people who went to Fenway Park and saw them live last week, and they said it was spectacular. They put on a great live show.
Seeing a show at Fenway would be pretty awesome. The Foo Fighters,
yes.
I know a lot of people, they're like their favorite band. And I mean, regardless of whether you think their music's watered down from the Nirvana days or whatnot, they still rock, and Dave Grohl is such
they're
a
solid.
Talented musician and stuff like that. So yeah, if you have a problem with the Foo Fighters, I don't know, go somewhere else.
Take it up with Jed Marshall. Don't bring it weak.
Yeah. Yes, bring it up with me, because my 5'10", 165 frame will kick your ass and teach you a lesson.
Well, I'm backing you up at 5'10", 150, so I got your back.
Perfect.
Update from Chiefs training camp. We told you in the last segment, D. Ford was over at the trainer's tent with the shoulder pads off. He has now been taken back to the team facility. And they appeared to be looking, according to Matt Derrick, our good friend from ChiefsDigest.com, they were looking at his upper body. So that can mean just,
such
well,
a football
I mean,
injury. We're looking at his body, upper body. Really? Can
well,
you go? Can you be any more detailed? No.
Well, it's hilarious. Like when football coaches update you on injuries. Well, we got the
guy's got a head.
We got a John Johnson over here. He's got a leg, and this guy's got a oblique. This guy's got a shoulder. Yeah, I know he has. He physically has a shoulder. On his body. What does that mean? But they don't like to give out the information. So that's the latest on that. So far, that is the only injury we have seen up here today up at Chiefs training camp. Update you on the PGA Championship going on over in St. Louis. How about that? The PGA Championship right here in our state of Missouri, which I think is awesome, even if you're not a fan of St. Louis. Gary Woodland still at the top of the leaderboard at 10 under. Followed by Kevin Kisner, who's 9 under. Ricky Fowler is now 2 shots back. He's finishing up his second round from yesterday. They had to stop because of lightning. Brooks Koepka is 2 shots back, the winner of back-to-back U.S. Opens. And I'm just scrolling down because I know everybody wants to know Tiger Woods. And Tiger is 4 under and 6 shots back. Again, he is finishing his second round from yesterday, and then he'll have to do his third round today. And you can hear the PGA Championship live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. So we talked about Sporting KC in that last segment, Jed, and they're out here. They're out on the West Coast, LAFC. And one of the things that I know Nate was talking about on the Border Patrol this week is he wants to see if Will Ferrell is at the game because he's a part owner of LAFC. Now, look, when you have these celebrity owners, that's a name. He probably has 0.0001% ownership stake in the team. He probably gave him a few thousand bucks so they can run him out in front of the press, which is fine. I think all the publicity is great, but Will Ferrell might be at the LAFC game.
Come on, Chin!
Come on, Chin! Being at Kauffman Stadium a few years ago, that was great. How about that? What would you do if you ran into Will Ferrell? Would you try to be, and I know Steven and Nate talked about it this week, would you try to be one of those guys who dropped a line on him where you just, would you just keep walking on by?
I'd probably try and get a picture with him, but no, I certainly wouldn't use a movie line. The only actor, I guess, I would use a movie line on would be if I met Jon Favreau or Vince Vaughn, and I'd certainly do some swingers lines. But
absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't. I've seen when I used to travel with the Royals, we went to L.A. several times, and there would be random celebrities at the hotel, and you'd feel the urge to want to say something, but I didn't want to be that guy because I know they get it all the time. I'll tell you the most random celebrity I ran into at the hotel in Anaheim when we were there to play the Angels. From Back to the Future, the guy who played Biff.
Wow. What's that guy doing these days? Just living in Anaheim, apparently going to Angels games?
He's got, like, white hair now, and he's old, and he's put on a lot of weight. But
did you meet Christopher Lloyd? Are you sure you're not mistaken?
No. Nope. It was Biff because he was getting coffee in the hotel lobby, and people were coming up. Somebody recognized him. I don't know how because I would not have been able to look at him and say, oh, that's Biff from Back to the Future. People were lined up taking pictures, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy to all the people who wanted pictures. He's not the character from the beginning of Back to the Future. He was more the character at the end where he had to be super nice to Marty and his family. So very random stuff. On that note, we'll take a timeout. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. At 10:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. At 11 o'clock, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. We're live at Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe. Our coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter out here in St. Joe. Charlie Carlin is with me. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.